sneakerheads getting scammed, and pre-orders? We're going to talk about that this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everyone. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freights. Hope that this finds you well. Last week, I want to say that I appreciate everybody being okay with me deviating from sneakers a little bit. When I looked at the analytics, the numbers were not nearly as good as when I do an actual sneaker episode. I totally understand that, fam. You're here for sneakers. Totally understand. It was a really important episode for me to do. It was also really important for me to put out the accompanying video that went with it about the history that I had with my mom and about the growth that I have had over the last 4 years. It means a lot because that growth is representative of the content and the podcast that we are listening to right now. It's really important that I acknowledge those changes, important that I acknowledge my personal life, because it is reflected in this work. Sneakers is a wonderful thing, but real life happens outside of it. And if sneakers went away completely, my life would still happen. So I appreciate everybody who tuned in, everybody who reached out to tell me that it was good, everybody who reached out to tell me that they feel for me. I appreciate it. And if you've lost a parent, I feel for you too. But let's pivot back to sneakers, shall we? Because I think it's important that we continue to talk about this game that we love. Now, we're going to take a little sneaker news approach, so to speak, but I'm going to give my opinion about two items that have been in the news over the last few weeks. One is a little bit older. The other one is a little bit more recent. We're going to start with sneaker pre-orders. Now, Nike announced that via the sneakers app, going forward, they are going to have pre-orders, essentially. But it's a little bit different than what we think. Instead of asking for pre-orders from a third party where you are guaranteeing being able to get a shoe, what I think Nike is trying to do is gauge interest in a particular shoe before they mass produce this shoe. So what they are doing is allowing for pre-orders of a shoe before this shoe has been produced. It means that there is going to be a very long lead time between this pre-order and between when you actually get the shoe. Somewhat ironic because we were just talking about a few weeks ago how people have been complaining about shipping problems with the Undefeated 4s, the long time between copying a shoe and getting a shoe, and how that takes away from their enjoyment of the shoe. I have seen a little bit of traffic on X about people having their orders canceled after all this time. That's a different story entirely, and we're not going to get into that. But I just wanted to point that out because many people who are excited about this pre-order idea are kind of a lot of the same people who've been complaining about the long shipping times, but it is what it is. The idea behind this, again, is for Nike to gauge interest and to give sneaker culture this idea that they have access without having to go through all the hoops. But there are a few catches. The biggest catch is the fact that this access, these pre-orders, are going to be limited. There is going to be an exclusivity factor to these pre-orders. Nike has said they are going to be first come, first served. And honestly, how much of a change is that? If you really think about it, how much of a change is that? Who does it benefit? And is it going to be a program that Nike continues going with going forward? Here's a couple of scenarios that I see. Much like a first come, first serve drop, you have to be ready at the time of the drop in order to gain the benefits or be able to cop a shoe. If this pre-order system is going to be first come, first served, it's going to better serve, no pun intended, the people that are available at the time when these come out. A lot of sneaker drops happen in the middle of the day when many people, at least in the United States, are working. Now, sneaker culture, of course, is a global phenomenon, but I'm talking specifically about sneakers US here. The hours of 9 to 5, generally speaking, are when people are at work. Not everybody, of course, but there are a lot of people who work that kind of a job where during the day, the morning into the late afternoon, they are working. And in the times before and after that, they are doing whatever they do in their personal life. People have families, they don't have families, whatever. If you're available at the time that these drop and you're able to get a pre-order, that's fantastic. But if you aren't, that doesn't give you a better advantage or a fairer advantage than it did before. If you weren't available at 10 a.m. for a regular sneaker drop, you're not going to be available at 10 a.m. for a pre-order. Now again, people are going to make themselves available whenever they see fit. But my point is, this is not necessarily a system that gives us exactly what a lot of people have been asking for. My other concern is that these pre-order links are going to be widespread by people who have a large level of influence. If there are people who have, let's say, Discord chats, they might be able to send these links out to people, and people might be able to know about them right away. And if they're paying attention, they're able to get in there and take these pre-orders. Again, I think this idea has legs, and I think that if they flesh it out a little bit, there could be value in making this system feel more fair. But as I've always said with sneakers anyway, the numbers are just not in our favor. Too many people in a general concept, in a general way, too many people want the shoes that end up on the sneakers app. Nike just doesn't make enough. And this pre-order system is not going to allow pre-orders to go in ad infinitum. You're not going to just be able to pre-order whenever. They're going to cap it. And part of me kind of wonders how much this is actually going to change Nike's production in the first place. Two scenarios. If they sell out quickly, does that mean they're going to make more? Is this something that's going to inform their production quantity? I'd like to think a company as large as Nike kind of has a general idea of how many shoes they're going to produce. And if something doesn't sell out on the pre-orders, are they going to cancel it? Are they going to make less? Again, when is the timing of all this? Is it going to allow Nike the flexibility to be able to change their production at all? They're such a large company that, generally speaking, production isn't easily changed. These things have to be on a strict schedule so that they can make just-in-time production so they can get these shoes out in all of these products. Remember, Nike is not just making sneakers. They are making tons of products. And so they're going to have to fit all of this in. And if they have an idea of when these are going to be produced, they have to, I would think, also have an idea of how many they're going to produce. Will be interesting to see how this rolls out, be interesting to see how it evolves, and what the culture thinks of it going forward. Like I said, I think the idea has legs, but I do wonder in the execution if it's going to need a little bit of fine-tuning. The next item in the news is something that is definitely more controversial. Pre-orders are something that gives people hope. This next story that I heard about that has had a lot of traction, especially on Twitter or X, this story has people talking. Awake released their Jordan 5. Now, there were two versions of this shoe. There was the black and blue, and then there was the pink colorway. I believe the pink colorway was possibly a friends and family. I don't know. All I know is that it was the more coveted of the two, and people really wanted this shoe. There were a lot of pictures circulating on social media that I saw that showed that they could possibly be numbered, and it turns out that they weren't numbered, I believe. It also turns out that these pictures may be fabricated. People wondered if they're fakes, what have you. I don't know the ins and outs of that either. I just know that it was in my peripheral vision when I was looking around on social media. Also, this is a shoe I was not interested in, so this is something that has sort of come about because I've seen a lot of chatter about it. And if you want to hear the full story of what has happened on Twitter, check out Sockjig's latest episode. He breaks it all down. He breaks down his part in it and gives you what happened. The guy's always doing great work, and the guy is always doing honest and transparent work. And I cannot tell you how valuable that is everywhere, not just in sneaker culture, everywhere. We don't have enough of that, in my opinion. From what I understand, this shoe was so coveted, and there was an influencer on social media. I don't know the person's name. I just know that it was a female. And this person was advertising that you could purchase access to a friends and family link for this shoe. From what I said before, a lot of people were interested in this. It seems as if there was a lot of traffic and a lot of people were willing to pay for access to this friends and family link in order to get this shoe. Now, I don't know if it guaranteed them the ability to get the shoe, but I think it did give them a leg up in being able to get it and being able to get it faster than the general public. Generally, that's what friends and family would mean. But in this case, I don't have exactly the details. My point is they were offering a service that gave them access to what is or what seems like an easier way to get these shoes. In the end, it turns out that this friends and family link was not real and that people paid for something that was never going to be delivered on. And from what I also understand is when this story came out and the falsehoods of this link were revealed, the person who was responsible for it, the person who advertised it and took people's money, essentially said, yes, this wasn't real, but too bad, I have your money now. There are so many elements to this that I have opinions on that I'm not going to give. But there's a couple of avenues we can explore. The first avenue comes down to scamming. Scamming happens everywhere. It happens in just about every market in which there is some kind of exclusivity and some kind of resell. Sneakers is notorious for this, everybody knows. But people get scammed in so many different ways in sneakers. The first thing that comes to mind is when we talked about earlier the pictures that had been circulating that were numbered pairs. And it turns out that those weren't necessarily real. Fakes have been a part of the game forever. They have just gotten so good over the last few years that they have now become even bigger of a player. And it's not just people to be able to buy them and have access to them, but people now will buy these shoes or acquire these shoes in an attempt to scam people out of their money. Because hype shoes come with a very, very high resale price. They come with a lot of demand, and therefore there are profits to be made. In a general way, resale has kind of flattened out, but for these super hype shoes, like the Awake NY Jordan 5, the pink one, there's going to be demand. People are going to want to and will pay a premium for that. So you hear about fakes with this shoe, and that already triggers me a little bit because you know that those fakes are telling a story that's not true and that people are probably going to be scammed into purchasing something that never really existed in the first place. Then we get to this friends and family link. Again, when it comes down to scamming, whether it's an actual fake or whether it's a fake access, the idea here is that somebody in the culture who's supposed to be in love with the culture is going out of their way to scam people out of their money. Look, I have been very vocal about the fact that I have purchased fake sneakers before, and I know people who listen and people who probably follow me don't think that I'm a real sneakerhead. They don't respect me in this culture and all that. I don't actually care about that. I've never really cared about that. The idea is that I've been very open about it, transparent, and what I've also discussed is what I've learned from it. That I have learned so much about shoes, learned so much about what sneakers mean to a lot of people, and I've learned a lot of negativity from it too, to be able to exit myself from a lot of the drama and exit myself from the inauthentic nature that a lot of people want to traffic in. Whether you wear all fakes or all retail, there are inauthentic people in both of those camps. But what has always been a line for me, and there are receipts that I have where I have called people out on Reddit for this behavior, is that people have tried to scam people out of their money, and that's always been a line for me. In this particular instance, where this influencer is advertising a service that they were never going to deliver on, and they're taking people's money, but not only that, when they are called out on it, when they have been uncovered as having scammed people, their response is to double down, basically tell everybody to fuck off, excuse my language, and keep the money for themselves. I will never, ever, ever be able to forgive somebody for this kind of behavior. Reason being is because, especially in today's world, people's money is hard earned. There have been a lot of people in this country who have lost their job for one reason or another, and that paycheck for them was sustenance. It allowed them to take care of their families. And so when you are going into a situation and you are intentionally trying to scam people out of their hard-earned money, you are possibly taking food off the table. I understand that these people are willing to spend money on something that is frivolous in a lot of people's minds. They don't need sneakers. Nobody really needs sneakers in the way that we purchase them and love them. But that money could be used to feed their family in some way. And they're choosing to spend it in this way, and you are choosing to take it from them in a dishonest way. And I just cannot get behind that. I cannot support anything like that, and it will always piss me off in this culture that people feel the need to do that. On the other side of that, the other avenue comes down to influence. Influencers on social media everywhere are what they are for a reason. Influencers have a position in whatever market it is that they're trying to influence because they have a large following, their voice carries, and more importantly, their persuasion carries, their influence carries. Those people can say things and people will buy into it. People will act on it. That's why brands and that's why companies will try and market through influencers. Not every influencer is trying to sell you a product, but they are all trying to sell you an idea. They're trying to sell you their opinion. And there are a lot of them in sneakers. From what I understand, there is a large network of these people. Now, I've seen it in a smaller version. A lot of the creators that I know, I would consider in a network. We all have some semblance of an influence. If we're talking into a camera or into a microphone, we have influence in some way. We have a platform. To me, it all comes down to how you use that responsibly. For me, I always tell you, I am no influencer. The point of me existing is not to get you on my side, not to get you to buy a shoe that I review. It's to talk about something that I love and to foster a community in which you feel comfortable doing the same thing. There are influencers out there, though, that will fake or feign as if they are for that kind of endeavor, but underneath the surface, they are not. So you always have to watch out what people say on social media. And I think I've also said on here that if I start to get down that path, I hope some of the people closest to me will tell me. But from what I understand with this Awake situation is that this influencer who was advertising this friends and family access was sort of being pushed by other influencers in the culture. I say influencers because I know of a couple, but I don't want to necessarily put it all in one person, necessarily make it about the specific people. This is about an idea. People make mistakes all the time in life. We think we know people and we advertise for them. We try and give them an up in some situation. Everybody in here has somebody who they've been able to help, maybe get a job or maybe get their foot in the door somewhere. We all have. Most of the time, we have good instincts and those always work out and those people make us look good. They make our judgment of them look good. But there are times in which these people let people down and it becomes a reflection on us. We make mistakes. It's okay. But the most important element of it is that we are accountable. Look, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I have said inappropriate things to people, close friends that I didn't even think was inappropriate, but they called me out and said, hey, I don't like that. And in every instance, I have, when given the opportunity, made sure that I cop to the fact, you know what? You're absolutely right about that. Apologize for your behavior in an authentic way, not because you got caught, but because you understand what that did to somebody else. In this instance, from what I understand, there has been a little bit of a lack of accountability, certainly from the influencer who was hawking this fake service. That person not only didn't take accountability, I mean, I guess in a way they did by saying, yes, I did this, but they took people's money. But if I was somebody who knew that person and I knew them to be a good person, but then this happened and I was asked if I regretted my association or I regretted pushing this person and this fake access, I think two things can be true. I think you can still like somebody, you can still be friends with somebody, but also recognize that they're human and say, that was a mistake that they made, and then turn it back on yourself and say to yourself and to others, yes, I regret that. I didn't think through it. I didn't realize this was happening. I don't want people to think that that's what I'm about. Taking accountability, no matter who's asking you for it, is always a good thing, as long as you mean it. As long as the words coming out of your mouth are for the right reason. And that's why I say we need to be accountable at all times when we have a platform. Anybody who's listening to this who makes content in any way, no matter whether it's sneakers or whatever, we all have a responsibility to take this shit seriously. What you say and how you represent yourself is a reflection on you as a human being. If you're playing a character in any way, it maybe doesn't hurt you as much, but it does. People may not know your name. They may not know the real you, the legal you, but that face that you put out there, the voice, the opinions, that becomes a personality. It becomes something that people will associate positively or negatively. I happen to put my real name, my real self out there. Anybody can look me up and find things out about me. If I make a mistake, I'm accountable. I cop to it. I will. But if you don't, and you treat this platform with disrespect, and you don't think about the influence that you have. Again, you don't have to be an influencer to have influence. Influencer is a term. Having influence is an actual concept. Be careful what you say, be careful how you act, and at all times, be authentic, transparent, and genuine. And if you do that, then you're gonna be okay. You're gonna make mistakes. People are going to make mistakes. In the end, it's how we react to those and how we make those right. And in this instance, I just cannot get behind somebody who would willingly steal somebody's money, be found out, and not take accountability for it, not take responsibility. And the sad part is there are people that are still following this person. There are people that still feel like this person is okay to follow when they have actively gone out of their way to scam people. If they take accountability, fine. You can follow whoever you want, but we should hold people to a higher standard than that. I hold myself to a standard. Do I always meet it? No, I don't. So if you're going to come at me and say, what about this? What about that? Fam, I've made mistakes in my life. I've made mistakes in my content life, in this sneaker life. We're all going to make mistakes. It's how we better ourselves throughout the course of time. Overall, can we look back at those mistakes and say, I'm a better person? That's all I'm asking for. How did you feel about either of these stories? Are you psyched for pre-orders? How did you feel about the Awake NY stuff? I'm sure I got some things wrong or didn't have all the details. Like I said, if you want to go listen to the full breakdown of it, Sockjig is going to give you all the information that you need. He's doing the best work out there, as far as I'm concerned. So go check him out. Hope this finds everybody well, fam. Hope this finds everybody safe. And I'll talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear.